Hello, everybody. With Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're on the air live to address your question or to discuss your real-life issue by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, we'd like to discuss it with you at 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen and call to take part. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Richard Pfeiffer.
Thanks, Bob. All month long, we've been talking about grace and money, and this week we're on the rubber meets the road part of that conversation. Mm-hmm. We're in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, and today's word is equity or honesty. There's various ways to look at this. Yesterday was willingness, but today is about equity, fairness, honesty, and those sorts of things. And I'm going to read you verses 13 through 15, and then we'll talk about some other things. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality, as it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Paul is explaining to the Corinthians that this act of giving is done on the basis of not that you're going to give and give and give and give and nobody else ever gives, but that you are giving to a specific need, mm-hmm. to help a specific situation. And who knows how long it will be. It could be tomorrow, it could be a year from now or 10 years from now, when the people you gave to will be able to give to your need,
sure.
when it occurs. And that's the beautiful thing about the body of Christ, is we're connected together in ways that give us a chance to respond to each other and to help each other out, to come alongside even at a long distance. Well, the other side of that is what's in the last several verses of chapter 8, and that is that this isn't done willy-nilly. This is done with great care. Titus and another brother who was praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel were being sent to Corinth to collect these funds, and then they were going to meet up with Paul and the rest of the group so that they could ensure that the funds given were actually being given to the people for whom they were intended. Absolutely visible, above board, no funny business going on. This is fair, it is honest, and so you've got both things going on. You've got the sharing among believers, and you've got absolute clarity on the fact that whatever I share with someone else is going to actually get to that person if I can't give it to them myself.
Right.
And those are both very important sides of this equality or equity issue in terms of giving. And it's one of the beauties of giving under the new covenant is that we have the Holy Spirit informing us, working on our hearts so that the love overflows and we see the needs of other people, we respond to those needs, and we have the joy of knowing that how we respond and the money we give or the time we spend is being done absolutely fairly, absolutely honestly, and people are really receiving what they needed to receive. Yeah. That is a blessing.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody, and the lines are wide open. That's why we are on the air live every day so that you can take part. And we'd love for you to do that right now at 1-800-677-9377. That, of course, is a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open, plenty of time on the clock, and a good opportunity for you to call straight through.
We had a person on the line who couldn't hold, but they had a question about, so how do you give to, say, the homeless or to someone who may have a drug problem or whatever because they really need the money? Are you helping them prevent crime, for example? And what do you do about this? Well, this is where the wisdom of God comes in.
Yeah.
I can't give you a hard and fast rule for this. If you're in tune with the Spirit, walking by faith, and the Spirit is saying to you, you really need to give this person $20 or $30 or whatever it is, do it. Because that's the Spirit working on your heart. If the Spirit is saying, be careful, then be careful. Before I worked here at this ministry, I had a chance to work for a couple of years with a local United Way organization in Fort Collins, Colorado. And they were very careful with us to say, look, when you someone comes to you on the street and says, I need something, don't always just think about giving the money. You know where the shelters are. Bring them to a shelter. Actually bring them there. You know, that's taking a risk and putting yourself out to take somebody to a shelter so that they can get not just food, but there may be medical care that they need. There may be spiritual care that they need. There's all kinds of things that a particular shelter could do that I could not do on my own.
Sure.
And so that was one more piece of the puzzle. It's not that you're trying to prevent yourself from giving money to someone. It's that there are wise ways to do it and less wise ways to do it. And again, the beauty of having the indwelling Holy Spirit is that we have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
And that mind is transforming our minds so that we have discernment and wisdom and clarity in the way we make decisions rather than just an emotional response. Everybody knows how to tug on the heartstrings. I do it too, right? It's not that I'm out begging for money, but there are ways that I tug on my wife's heartstrings just to get what I want. And that's not right. Well, we all do that, and with the Spirit giving us the clarity and the wisdom to do this properly, more things will be done in a better way, more efficiently, and more effectively.
Yeah.
And that makes us able to bless more people than we would otherwise.
Well, the subject this entire month has been grace and money, and if you have a question about either or both, why, we would love to hear from you. If you'd like to elaborate and build on the conversation we've already established, why, we'd love for you to do that too. 1-800-677-9377. It's a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada. The lines are open, 1-800-677-9377. Richard, we're going to make a big, big shift of gears here.
Sure.
And Lucy in San Diego, here comes your question. Have you heard, and I'm going to pose this to you, Richard, have you heard about the blood moons in 2014 and 2015? There is a whole movement out there interpreting these events as significant in the end of things. What do you think about the blood moons?
I've actually had conversations with people about this. My wife and I have looked these up, and it's a real thing. It's all based on some calculations that NASA has made. And there are certain full moons that will occur right smack dab with the various Jewish feasts. Mm-hmm. And so it immediately causes you to think, is there more going on than just, you know, a traditional thing that Israelis do? Well, the first thing that caused me to question it is that there was, again, way too much emotionalism with this. Oh, it's the end of time.
Yeah.
Oh. No, it may be or it may not be. You know, hold it in your heart and let the Spirit describe it to you. The second thing is that all the calculations were made by NASA and all these full moons happen in the United States. Israel is way over on the other side of the world and their full moons aren't the same as our full moons.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about? Are we talking about Israel or are we talking about the U.S.? How do you extrapolate? I would say be very, very careful. Is it fascinating? Yes, it is. There's some interesting parallels in the Bible for some of this stuff. But again, don't let it wrap you around the axle of end times hysteria. I'm not saying everybody who's involved in this is suffering from end times hysteria, but there are too many people who are.
Yeah.
I've seen it on the web, and all of that. Just, I guess the way to do it is to just calm down. Revelation, in fact, the whole Bible, but Revelation in particular, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation's intent is not to tell us when the end of all things is going to be, but to give us the assurance that Jesus is absolutely the victor. No question. And if we're in him, we are saved.
Yeah.
And we're victorious too.
Yeah.
That's our hope. Regardless of what else happens, when it happens, how it happens, to whom it happens, if I'm in Christ, that's all that matters because Jesus is the victor.
Yeah.
And that's how you have to take all of this stuff and put it into the proper context. Yeah. Without getting too squirrely about it.
Well, for the listeners who don't know, including me, what is a blood moon going to look like?
Oh, it's just a full moon. It's not a different looking moon. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that the moon is happening in conjunction with one of the Jewish feasts.
Okay.
Okay. And so it's old covenant thinking, for one, But there are those who believe that the Jewish feasts have parallels with end-time prophecy.
Gotcha.
And so when those certain full moons line up with those feasts, and there are things that could happen relative to end times, then you begin to see this picture build. And it might be a fascinating picture to look at. It may increase your faith because you understand a little bit more about how God's working, but never turn it into a predictive thing.
Sure, right.
As soon as you go to predicting how things are going to work and how God's going to do what he does, God says, thank you so much for playing, but I don't necessarily work that way.
Yeah.
And he says, just, again, calm down, consider this, let it build your faith. If it builds your faith, if it causes you to worry, drop it like a hot potato, and keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't keep your eyes on the moon.
Very good. Well, plenty of open lines. If you'd like to pose your question on this edition, we'd love for you to do just exactly that. That number, 1-800-677-9377. Go to the U.S. and Canada, 1-800-677-9377. To San Antonio, Texas, let's talk to Andrew. Welcome to the broadcast, Andrew. You're on the air.
All right, thanks, brothers. How y'all doing?
Good. Good to hear from you.
Good. God bless you. I was just basically calling. I'm a new believer in Christ.
Uh-huh.
I just came. I've been for about 2 months now, and I recently found out about Gnostics and the Gnostic Gospels, and I'm kind of confused about it because I hear that other apostles, I know this is off topic, but I hear that other apostles also have their own written Gospels, their own books, right? And I'm wondering, like, so the Bible's perfect. Well, why are those books not included? And what do you think about Gnostics and the Gnostic Gospel?
Okay, it's actually an excellent question, and we've got just under 13 minutes, and we need a week. so, I'll try and do it as briefly as possible. There, because you've got questions here that are included about how the Bible came to be and what is Gnosticism and all of that. Let's start with the Bible.
Okay.
The Bible as we have it now was put together finally in the mid-300 AD area. And the way that, because the Old Testament existed already, the Jewish scriptures had been gathered together and approved for many, many, many years, hundreds of years. And so they were collecting the writings of the various people from primarily the first century. And they had one overriding concern. There were several concerns of how various letters got into the New Testament. But the overriding concern was, is this writing changing lives? And one of the ways that the writings in the New Testament change lives is because they tell the same story. Different people at different times with different backgrounds are all describing the same Jesus, the same means of salvation, the same way of dealing with the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's amazing how tightly coupled they all are. You wouldn't have expected them to do it because most of these people, or many of them, didn't have any relationship with each other prior to meeting Jesus. And so you can trust the Bible. There are more manuscripts of the Bible than for any other book in antiquity, thousands more manuscripts than in pieces of manuscripts than with any other book that in antiquity. You can trust the Bible. These guys weren't just playing a political game. They were truly men of God who said, what books have made the most impact? What letters? Let's gather them together and so that we have an approved, historically accurate collection. And that's where we got our Bible. Well, at that same time, this idea of Gnosticism had come into being and was fairly powerful in society in the first, second, third centuries. And the underlying aspect of Gnosticism is that one of two things is true. Either Jesus really didn't come in the flesh, or if Jesus came in the flesh, he could not be God. So what they had was this dualism. If you were human, you were evil, and therefore you couldn't be godly. So if you were godly, you couldn't be in the flesh. And so Jesus, who makes this claim of being both fully God and fully man, they had to explain away somehow. And so they explain him away, and the proof is in the pudding. What happened in Gnosticism most of the time is that people who believed Gnosticism would say, well, if the spirit is good and I want the spirit and the flesh is bad and so I don't want the flesh, but the flesh is here living on me, I'll just ignore the flesh. That means I'll do anything I want because it doesn't matter. It's evil anyway. It doesn't matter. So eat, drink, and be merry. Well, they got into really obscene stuff, very gross sexual sin, drinking to excess, eating to excess, and patting themselves on the back for having, quote, wisdom, because we're spiritual. Our spiritual lives are above all of this junk that we're living in. Well, clearly, the Bible doesn't teach that. Under the new covenant, it's the Holy Spirit who teaches us to say no to ungodliness, who teaches us to subject our flesh, the desires of our flesh, to the desires of the Spirit. And so they rejected Gnosticism, and rightly so. Well, of course, those writings existed, and people have dug them up every once in a while throughout history and say, well, what about this? What about that? The Gospel of Thomas and other things like that. And they have demonstrated over and over again that following that line of thought will ruin your relationship with Jesus, whereas following the line of thought that's in the Bible as we understand it and know it actually strengthens your relationship with Jesus. And so that argument has been going on for nearly 2,000 years, and it always comes to the same conclusion. Those people who don't want to follow Jesus Christ as he described himself to be reject him and tend to go toward the Gnostic side of things. Those people who truly believe that Jesus is God and died once and raised once and defeated sin and brought eternal life, they reject Gnosticism. And so you're hearing those kinds of arguments. And you know, as a two-month-old baby Christian, I would advise you strongly to ignore Gnosticism. You've got enough to learn without having to compare that with the things in the Bible.
Amen. Thank you very much, Brother. That pretty much summed up everything that I was wondering about, so thank you very much for that.
Yeah. What I'd like you to do is stay on the line a little bit. I mean, you're only 2 months old. First of all, welcome to the family.
Yeah.
You and I are brothers in Christ right now, man. That is a great thing. We've got a little packet of things that we like to send to brand new believers, and even though you came to Jesus some other way, we would love to share that with you and give you some more background information and help you along the way. And if there's anything we can do for you, please give us a call anytime. You are on the trip of a lifetime right now. This journey with Jesus is more amazing than you can imagine.
Just hold the line, Andrew, and our operator will pick you up. And thanks for calling. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to get on the phone and call us again. So take care, brother.
All right.
1-800-677-9377, a little time on the clock, and we'd love to hear from you as time allows. 1-800-677-9377. What do we got, Richard? Got a matching gift, maybe?
We've got a matching gift.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been talking about it for a week now, a little more than a week. We're a little more than 60% done with actually collecting toward the matching gift, and we thank you sincerely for all of that. What an opportunity.
Oh, yes.
This is an opportunity, and I want to emphasize as strongly as I can, we are not begging you for money. Some people got together and said, what if we created this matching gift challenge? Maybe we could have a stronger impact into the ministry. We are thankful to them for doing it. We are making this opportunity known to our listeners. It is between you and God how much, if any, you give to this matching gift. And if you do, just know that every dollar you give is being doubled.
Yes.
And to put some wheels on that so that you can see it, $35 normally would cover about 100 people. Well, that $35 would be doubled to $70 within this campaign, so that's 200 people. You can extrapolate from there. This is a way to have a very major positive impact in the lives of other people. People that you might not ever be able to meet yourself, but you can meet them through us and through other people who are donating as well, partnering with us in the gospel. And we just ask that you consider this.
Sure.
And give if you can.
Yeah.
Be generous. Think about it. Plan it. do what God tells you to do.
There's a matching gift challenge link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. Or you can call and speak with our operator up to 6 o'clock Central Time today at 1-800-727-2828. Again, 1-800-677-2828. That's the phone line. Let me give you the right number. Here's the line you need to call is 1-800-727-2828. That's, again, 800-727-2828 to join us with the Matching Gift Challenge. Well, quickly, out to San Francisco, let's talk to Melvin, listening on KDIA. Hi, Melvin. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, guys. I just got a question. Have you ever think about doing this also in Spanish? There's a lot of people that I would like, you know, that they would love to know all this, you know, what you are, you know, the message of grace.
Well,
a lot of Spanish people.
You are absolutely correct. This message, whether we're teaching it or somebody else is teaching it, is desperately needed in the Hispanic community. The guy who's going to be on with us tomorrow, Andrew, actually teaches Spanish and has done a lot of Spanish ministry or ministry in Spanish. And we need somebody who can step up and do this. We're not, I don't speak Spanish. I read a little bit of Spanish, but I couldn't converse with you in Spanish. We need people who understand Spanish and understand the gospel and this grace to share with other people who speak Spanish, because everybody in the world, it's not limited to Spanish-speaking people. There is a lot of confusion everywhere, and various languages need to be supported with this gospel. And you know, Melvin, if you know someone who understands the gospel and has a heart for ministry, put them in contact with us. We might be able to get them connected with somebody else, some other church or whatever, because it's really important. And I'm glad you've brought it up. We wish that we could have a Spanish ministry, but we can't. We don't have the funds for it. We don't have the people for it. And those two go hand in hand. So if there's someone out there, whether you know them, Melvin, or if anybody else is listening, who has a heart for taking this gospel of Jesus Christ, this basic gospel, into the Spanish-speaking community, what an opportunity.
I'll say.
I don't care what you think about any of the political issues going on in our country today. The fact is there are people who are dying without Jesus, and it would behoove us to be able to get to them in their language, in the idioms that they understand, and to be able to bring them to Jesus in a way that is meaningful.
All right. Well, if I can be of any help, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to do it.
Well, let me put you on hold, and we'll get your contact information, and you know, we'll follow up with you and see what kind of things you've got in mind, if there's people you know, various talents and gifts that you all have been given. Let's see what happens.
All right.
That's the best way to do
it.
Thank
you.
Yeah, stay on the line, Melvin. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Melvin. Absolutely. Well, speaking of staying and standing, we have a wonderful conference,
yes,
Richard, coming up June 19th through the 21st. It's called Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. You know, you've heard the gospel story. You've heard that it's good news, and yet maybe you struggle. Maybe you doubt. Maybe you wonder if God really cares. Maybe you feel like you're drifting. Maybe you know that you're desperately needing solid footing. Well, this is an opportunity to come and hear three speakers, I think, who are very dynamic in their own way. Bob Christopher, Andrew Farley, and John Lynch. Going to be a great conference. Hope you'll take advantage of it, because a lot of your questions are going to get answered right here at this conference. Stand 2014, coming up June 19th through the 24th, right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Go online to stand2014.com. You'll find all the information there, or at our regular website, basicgospel.net. Either one will do just fine. Or you can call during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator, perhaps at 1-800-727-2828. But again, June 19th through the 21st, Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. A great conference coming up. Also, want to continue to point you to this matching gift challenge that we talked about just a few minutes ago. Between now and the 31st, you can double the reach of your ministry by joining with us. Every contribution will be matched dollar for dollar up to $25,000. And we're so grateful to the board of directors of Basic Gospel for stepping up to the plate and making this happen. Normally, as Richard said, a gift of $175 reaches 500 people, and thanks to the Matching Gift Challenge, that same $175 gift will now reach 1,000 people with the gospel message and the love of Jesus. Call 1-800-727-2828 to join us today, or visit basicgospel.net. Time's up for today, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Interesting broadcast. We'll be back and do it again with Andrew Farley tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.